According to our next guest, there's no way around it. The age of effective, accessible antibiotics is over unless researchers are able to convince pharmaceutical companies to invest in the search for new drugs, generally a money-losing proposition for big pharma. To that end, New York Times bestselling author Dr. Matt McCarthy is on the front lines of a revolutionary clinical trial testing new antibiotics to fight lethal superbugs, bacteria that have built up resistance to the life-saving drugs in our rapidly dwindling arsenal. The trial serves as the backdrop for his new book, Superbugs, The Race to Stop an Epidemic. The book is published by Avery, and it's a pleasure to welcome Matt McCarthy to the roundtable this morning. Dr. McCarthy, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
What brought you to want to write about superbugs?
You know, this book came about because of a simple question that a patient asked me 4 years ago, which is, what is a superbug? And it sparked a lively discussion at the bedside. And as it happened, I was invited to run a clinical trial studying a new antibiotic. And so these things came together, these confluence of forces, where I had more than just that first patient, a number of patients saying, what are these drug-resistant pathogens? What are these viruses and bacteria and fungi? And what are we doing about it? And so all of that led me to write this book, which looks at a clinical trial that I ran with an expensive new antibiotic, one of the most promising new drugs that have just hit the market. And our hospital was refusing to carry it. And I wanted to understand why. And what was the standoff between big pharma and hospitals? And I wanted to introduce readers to the patients who are stuck in the middle, these vulnerable and dying patients. And that's really what's at the heart of this book.
So let us begin with how you would like us to define superbug. So if another patient comes to you in a bite size and asks, what is a superbug, how do you respond to that?
I say that it is a bacteria or a fungus or a parasite, broadly defined as a microbe, that's resistant to the treatments that we like to use. So I say, you have a microbe that is resistant to a number of treatments. However, you often have a treatment option available. And so one of the things that gets very confusing is somebody might have a superbug, but it's actually easily treatable. So I use, just as a short, handy definition, I say a drug-resistant microbe. And we go from there. And then that usually sparks a larger conversation with patients about, you know, risk to their family and to their friends, and are they contagious? And, you know, all of these issues I end up addressing in the book, where I want patients to have this understanding of what they're in for if a doctor says you've got a superbug.
What is biologically happening that allows that bug to stand up against most treatments as opposed to other bugs?
Right. This is the most fascinating part of my research, was figuring out how bacteria and fungi are evolving to become resistant to the treatments we throw at them. And a couple of the examples I use are that the bacteria have developed these things called efflux pumps. And these are microscopic vacuum cleaners that the bacteria can produce, which suck up an antibiotic and spit it out. They also have these enzymes that they've made that can chop up any antibiotic that we throw at them. So the pressure is on for us to come up with new drugs and new treatments. But as I found through my reporting and through my research, big pharma is increasingly losing interest in making new drugs because they are not, these antibiotics are not profitable for them. They often lose $50 million every time they invest in a new drug. So what I want to explore with readers is what can be done about this, because antibiotics are by definition a market failure. That means that supply and demand curves don't work for patients, and that increasingly the pharmaceutical companies are saying, we're getting out of the antibiotic business. And what I propose are a number of ways to fix that. And what you're going to see moving ahead is that this is going to become an incredibly important political issue in 2020 and beyond, which is that the government needs to intervene to spur the investment in new antibiotics, and we've got to figure out the way to do that responsibly.
I guess this is a question that I would ask a pit boss at a casino. I ask you as a doctor that works with pharmaceutical companies. But how does a pharmaceutical company not make money? I mean, if you're making the stuff how does that work?
So think about it this way. Imagine, for example, a blood pressure medication that a company makes. That gets prescribed to patients. They take it every day for the rest of their lives. Now think about an antibiotic. Doctors try to prescribe them as sparingly as possible. They only prescribe them in short courses, 5 days, 7 days. And then eventually that antibiotic is going to become wear out its welcome when the bacteria figure out ways to evolve to get around it. So these pharmaceutical companies are saying, why would we want to make a drug that doctors don't prescribe? And so what that has left us with is this market failure. And there are a number of proposals on the table to address this, and they're called push incentives and pull incentives. And I write at length about these. A push incentive is to go to a company and say, hey, you make Botox. You make $3 billion a year on that drug. Your corporate tax rate is 20%. Let's cut it by 2%, so you're down to 18%. We will do that for you if you promise to invest your profits in a new drug. So that's a push incentive. A pull incentive is to say to a pharmaceutical company, if you are fortunate enough to get a new drug approved by the FDA, rather than giving you 5 years of market exclusivity, we'll give you 25 years. And that's a very powerful incentive. But the problem with this is that there are a lot of people who are not enthusiastic about giving tax breaks and giveaways to big pharma. And that's why I describe this as a political issue, because we're going to be having politicians step forward with proposals. And I think that we need to become informed about what these problems are and how to solve them before we start voting on proposals.
How frustrating is it for you? How frustrating is it for a patient to know that there is something out there to make them better, and yet you can't get your hands on it?
It's agonizing. At the heart of my book are the patients and what it's like to be at the bedside with a patient who is dying from an infection, and knowing that one of the reasons that we don't have treatments are because these are not making enough money for pharmaceutical companies. And I quote, there's a CEO of a big pharma company who said that he had an ethical mandate to charge as much money as possible for his antibiotics because he's accountable to shareholders and not to patients. And it's that kind of ethos that drives us up the wall in the hospitals. And it's what I wanted to write about in my book.
Scientifically, how complex are these treatments in fighting these particular superbugs?
Well, they're getting more complex all the time. And I think one of the exciting parts of my book, and it's ultimately one of hope, is to look at the remarkable new treatments that we're developing. And one that was just reported on this past week is that we're using CRISPR now, the gene editing technique. And it's essentially a molecular scalpel that can reconfigure viruses, and they can create these cocktails that will cause superbugs to explode. And it's this incredible development that we have. But in the current climate, those new treatments are not going to become available to patients unless we do something to spur the development of these drugs, because it often takes 10 years and $1 billion of investment to bring a discovery in the laboratory to the patients who need them the most. And so how do we bring these remarkable new treatments to patients is going to become, I think, the most important medical issue of our next 20 years.
This is anecdotal, of course, but I know, obviously, it's something that happens to many people that I know, so let me ask you about it, which is, you have some sort of illness, you go into the doctor, and they seem to be hesitant to prescribe an antibiotic. I'm sure there's a reason for that. What is it? And ultimately, how would you overcome that hesitancy, given that there are these new bugs that are coming out that are super?
This is a crucial issue for us, is how do we prescribe antibiotics appropriately? And I had an op-ed in the New York Times earlier this month where I was talking about one of the crucial aspects of this is the appropriate stewardship of new drugs. And the best hospitals in the country have something called an antimicrobial stewardship program, where they have dedicated experts who help physicians to both diagnose and to treat these superbugs appropriately. And one of the really interesting things I've found is that there are a number of patients who are afraid to go to a hospital that has superbugs. And the reality is that every hospital has these things. And you want to go to a facility that has the experts who know how to treat them. You want to go to a facility that has the most sophisticated diagnostic techniques so that you are getting the best medical care. And that includes people who know how to prescribe the antibiotics that are being approved by the FDA every single year.
I should mention, probably should have mentioned this at the beginning, but the book is told through stories of individuals and what they deal with.
Absolutely. And this is, you know, what I have found lacking in the reporting of superbugs is that there are a lot of newspaper reports about the policy proposals or of the bugs themselves, but we're not hearing enough from the patients. And every time I walk into the hospital, you know, I met with five or six patients who are battling these infections, and there are so many questions and there's so much confusion about it. And so I tried to write this book to help clarify that. And what really guided me was the questions that I've been receiving from patients over, you know, my decade at New York Presbyterian Hospital, where every morning I walk in confident that we're going to cure these infections. But there's still tremendous uncertainty on the side of the patients. And so that's why I told the story through their cases and through their lives.
The name of the book is Superbugs, The Race to Stop an Epidemic. The book is published by Avery. Dr. Matt McCarthy, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks so much for having me. This was great.
Again, the name of the book is Superbugs, The Race to Stop an Epidemic by Matt McCarthy. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.